The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. Will you please be seated. Well, I don't know. A lot of you look a lot smarter than me, so you probably already know this. But here's your Easter trivia of the day. The word Easter. You know anybody named Esther? Do you have an Oster blender at your house? Do you know oysters or estrogen? Are you starting to see a theme here? Easter bunnies. You know what bunnies do? And eggs? This is about fertility. This is about new possibilities. That's what Easter is all about. I am curious, though, to know, and I'm not trying to call you out. I'm not going to make anybody raise their hand, because I already know the answer. So you're not going to hurt my feelings. But just for your own thinking about it, how many of you were in church 2 days ago on Good Friday to hear the story of the crucifixion, to hear the story of the humiliation, the suffering, the pain, the sense of loss, and probably more than anything else, the sense of abandonment and futility? You don't have to show me, because I know. It wasn't this crowded, I'm just going to say. I'm bringing it up not because I want to shake my finger at anybody. I, you know, candidly, don't entirely blame you. I probably would be there, but then I get paid to be there. But more than that, I think that a day like today has the potential to be a very empty holiday without the context of the cross. It's kind of like, I'll tell you something about my wife and me. We never go to New Year's Eve parties. And you know why? Because who cares? Really, everybody has to show up and they have to pretend like they're having a great time and that they're so happy because it's about to be a different year. Woohoo. I can't get myself all worked up about that. I'm not terribly interested. And I think there are a lot of little celebrations we do. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but honestly, Columbus Day? We have these celebrations, and what's the big deal? Well, the big deal about Easter, you know the story, you know, the resurrection, the empty tomb. You've heard it all before. If this is news to anyone, let me know later and I'll tell you the story afterwards. I'm pretty sure you know it. But it doesn't mean a lot if it isn't set against a context of some loss, of some humiliation, of some pain, and a desperate wondering if everything you've ever done with your life was for nothing. Now, people who come to church on a day like today tend to come for a couple of reasons. Either they have a holy hunch that this is about something bigger, and they're hoping that I will say something that will tap into that bigger thing. Or you're visiting grandma, and so your parents said, you're going to have to wear a tie now. I don't want to hear any complaining. We're going to grandma's church. It won't take that long. Or so you think. And you're going to brunch later. Well, nothing wrong with that. But again, if this is going to mean anything, let's talk about the fuller context of all of this. All right? I think by almost anyone's experience, the last year since we were together for Easter last time has been a tough year for a lot of people. I'm just speaking for myself in terms of my personal relationships with people. I have seen people that I love dearly suffer horribly in the last year through loss of their health, through loss of their jobs, through loss of family members and relationships, through loss of sense of purpose and being and what it's all about. I've seen that kind of personal loss on the national scale. We had a very divisive election. And whichever side of that you are on, either you have been holding your nose for the last 8 years as we prayed for Barack Obama Sunday after Sunday, or you're holding your nose now as we pray for Donald Trump Sunday after Sunday. And the politics are just, they wear us down so much that we become very cynical about the idea that anything like a parade, like an Easter service, like some music actually could make any difference. I want to suggest that it probably doesn't if we aren't honest with ourselves and if the preaching isn't honest about what our situation really is. Those of you who are not students of the Bible, who have not really read the thing carefully, let me just tell you, if you know the places to look, that is a seriously steamy book. There is some stuff in there that is just downright almost pornographic. There are stories of intrigue. There are stories of betrayal. There are stories of excitement and adventure. It's actually, if you're reading the right parts, don't skip past the begats. In some of the better parts, it tells stories that to me are important for one very important reason. They tell the truth. If you want to read the truth in the Bible, read the book of Job. Read a man who is shaking his fist at God and saying, I don't deserve this. Why are you doing this to me? And if we are honest with ourselves, we know that while this is a great day and we're gonna have that great brunch a little later, the fact is all of us have been through some loss and some pain and some doubt and some questions about choices that we've made all through our lives and wondered if we've just been chumps. Was I acting that way? Was I pursuing that career? Did I love that person for all the wrong reasons? Does it actually make any difference? Yesterday, I found it especially compelling when I came in for Holy Saturday worship at 9:00 in the morning. Forgive me if I tell you, I don't recall seeing many of your faces there. You know, that Holy Saturday service, it's a barn burner. But we got there, and Deb Sellis, who was officiating, had changed the readings, and boy, this one jumped out of me. Now, you know this is going to be a book that tells the truth when I tell you the name of it. We read from the book of Lamentations. Now, you can go tell all your friends, we went to this Episcopal church in Palm Desert on Easter Day, and they were reading Lamentations, and I guarantee you, your friends were not hearing this, but here it goes. And this is important to me because it just tells the truth. It says, I am one who has seen affliction under the rod of God's wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Against me alone, he turns his hand again and again all day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away and broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me sit in darkness like the dead of long ago. Let me stop there. How many people have ever felt this? You don't have to raise your hands. But how many people have ever looked in their heart and thought, if there is a God, that so-and-so owes me some answers, because this isn't right. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has put heavy chains on me. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stones. He has made my paths crooked. The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down with me. Okay? Now, if we're going to tell the truth on Easter Day, we got to start with that. We got to start with that pain that we've all felt, that senselessness that we've all felt, that sense that we have lost our way, that maybe we're railing, as this writer does, at God himself, or maybe it's just life. But there's this sense of, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. And it's into that context that the death of Jesus occurs. A couple of days ago, on Good Friday, when we had worship here, I did not know that they were coming. I had called the night before. I called a friend of mine over at KMIR, and I said, you know, if it's a slow news day coming up tomorrow, just want to let you know, Good Friday is the one day of the year that we turn the cross off on the mountain. So the cross up there you're used to seeing off on Good Friday night. Why? Because Jesus has died. Because in a very real way he has died, not in this kind of, well, just pretend, that hope appears to be lost. And as much as that lit up cross is a sign and a message to the valley, so is its absence. We do that one time a year. So I didn't expect them to show up, but instead we're up here doing our Good Friday worship. And they were setting up a camera in back, and they filmed the worshipers, they filmed our choir, and then afterwards they said, someone came and got me and said, the guy with the camera wants to talk to you. And then I realized what was going on, and I thought, okay, I'm not only going to need to explain the cross, I know he's going to ask me about Good Friday. So I thought as quickly as I could about how do I sum this up, and I said words roughly like this. Barbara Brown Taylor, she's an Episcopal priest and a writer in Georgia. And she was talking about the idea of falling. And she says, none of us like to fall. Nobody likes to fall. And we'll do anything we can to avoid it. And while we might wish it were so, God never tells us, if you worship me, if you love me, if you go to church, if you do all these things, you won't fall. On the contrary, 100% chance that we will. Many of us already have, over and over and over. But What God does promise us is that no matter how far we fall, we will never fall alone. Jesus on the cross was about Jesus falling with us. So there is no place of despair or loss or pointlessness or anger that you can ever reach that God is not right there with you. Whether you perceive God's presence or not, God is prepared to go the distance with us. And when we find whatever that bottom place is, God is prepared to redeem us. God is prepared not just to impress us all with a magic trick of rolling away a stone and saying, hey, look, he was dead, but here he is again. God is prepared to bind Jesus Christ, our brother, to us so that we share in that. God is here to take everything that we lost, and we really did, otherwise this is all just pretend, and say, the wounds are still there. The body of Christ has wounds. And we have wounds. And God isn't going to make it all nice and right. But God is going to pick us up from that call, and does pick us up from that call at the resurrection, and give us a new life. Not later, not after you're dead, right now. God is inviting us to look at all of those things, the rough things from the last year, our anger, our divisiveness, the way that we turn on each other, the way that we would so much rather get a good following on Twitter so that everybody is following and reading our inane comments, or admiring how profound we are on Facebook when we say, oh, I'm just so concerned about the refugees and wherever, and just knows how important we are and how good our hearts are. God is prepared instead to call us to be the body of Christ and actually change the world. The message of Christianity, the hope of our being the body of Christ, the hope of the resurrection, is not just that we'll all sit here, sing some nice songs together and say, whoopee for Jesus, he came back. God is calling us to be a new thing. God is calling us to change the world. God is calling us to go out into a culture right now where everybody is just trying to shout each other down and say, you don't count anymore, and proclaim a different message. When I was a kid, my mother was a very active political operative. She managed campaigns and she worked back at the party headquarters. I'm afraid to tell you which party that was, but let's just say she organized an event for Julie Nixon Eisenhower. Yes, she did. And Mom used to tell me, she wasn't the only one, not trying to lay this at her door, it was popular in those days to say, I know you've heard this before, well, I know that we don't have the president that we wish we had. I don't much care for the man, but I certainly respect the office. Oh, please. Really? Is that the best we can do? I'm telling you what I think Jesus is telling you. The office, okay. Go ahead. Love the man. If it's the one who's in office now who's driving you crazy, love him anyway. If it's the one you just got rid of who drove you crazy, love him anyway. The people who are posting things on Facebook that make you so mad, I'm not putting up with that anymore, I'm unfriending you, love them anyway. The woman who stands in the center of the grocery aisle with her damn shopping cart just right in the middle and you can't get anywhere, love that woman anyway. That's the hard one, I think. You love her anyway. Why? Because God has a different vision for us as the resurrected body of Christ. God is hoping for something more from us. This reading that I just read you from Lamentations, let me tell you what the very next paragraph is. It starts with the word but. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. If you go to brunch, good for you. Have a great brunch. But more importantly, this gospel reading tells us that when the women went to the tomb, they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Joy. I'll connect that in just a second. And they ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said greetings. They came to him, took hold of his feet, worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Where is your Galilee? What's next after brunch? Where are you going to go and look for the resurrected Christ? More importantly, where are you going to go and be the resurrected Christ? Do you know how desperately our broken world needs to hear what you already know? Do you know how desperately they need to experience not your judgment, but your love? Never mind. We are called to change the world. So again, they left the tomb quickly with fear and joy. Joy is not the same as happiness. It's not that feeling you get when you say the music was great, though it is. Or the sermon, perfect. There's a podcast. Anything that you're experiencing here is not the joy. It's just feeling good. The joy is from knowing that the battles are won, knowing that the sufferings you endure are nothing compared with the love of God. So St. Paul, writing from prison to the early Christians, said this about the Christian life, and I think it really matters. He starts with the idea of joy. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then here's my favorite part, because this is the core. This is what we Christians are called to go out and do and be and show the world, not that we're holier than them or smarter or that God loves us any better, but that we've seen something that is worth telling and giving to the world a better way forward. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about, and I would add, do and live and be these things. Be the light of the world. Jesus is not here. He has gone ahead. Go out into the world. Find him. Be him. People who hurt as much as you do need to hear this news and need to see you live it for them and love them. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and seen in me, Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. That's the good news of this Easter message. Is it that sense of futility and death And what difference does my vote make? What difference does my being, what difference does it matter what I do for a living or how I treat people? It matters a lot. God is equipping us to be His hands and feet on the ground. God is equipping you this year to show forth the love of the Creator of everything that is. And that's why it matters. So, alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.